Welcome back to Logical, where we untangle the legal knots so that you don't have to. I'm Ludmila Malova, a US qualified lawyer based in Dubai. In each episode, we break down complex law into clear, practical insights that you can actually understand and use. Today, we'll be talking about payment orders and confirmed commercial debt in the UAE. Why this otherwise dry topic is relevant? It's because in the UAE, creditors have access to an expedited and highly effective judicial mechanism for debt collection known as payment orders. Under the right circumstances, a payment order allows creditors to obtain swift court decision to recover outstanding debts without the need for protracted litigation. This judicial tool is designed to provide a fast-track solution for creditors with confirmed commercial debt, reducing both the time and the cost for pursuing debt recovery through traditional court proceedings. Payment orders are particularly valuable in cases involving clear, uncontested debt supported by commercial documents. However, their application is limited to specific legal conditions and circumstances as defined by the UAE law and further clarified by various court rulings. This episode explores the scope, requirements, and practical considerations for obtaining payment orders under the UAE law. So let's break it down. With regards to the legal framework that governs payment orders, and it was first introduced in 2022, and the law that governs this is called the UAE Civil Procedure Law number 42 of 2022 and Articles 143 to Articles 150 specifically. So the law sets out an expedited mechanism for debt recovery, but only in cases where debt meets strict legal criteria. So the purpose of the payment orders is to enable creditors to quickly obtain an enforceable judgment in cases where the debt is undisputed and clearly documented. There are certain conditions, obviously, that must be met in order for a particular document to rise to the level of a payment order. So in relevant terms, to successfully apply for a payment order, the following conditions, which are set out in Article 143 of the Civil Procedure Law, must be satisfied. One, the creditor's right must be established in writing. This includes both electronic and paper-based documentation. Importantly, that does not mean that it has to be a document that clearly says this is a confirmed commercial debt. The writing can mean it can be in a specific document, it could be a loan document, or it could be even a WhatsApp communication or an email, informal communication, as long as it clearly states that such and such amount is owed. Number two, the debt must also be due. So in other words, the payment obligation must already have matured and be payable. In other words, not conditional. Number three, the debt must be specific in monetary amount or movable property. So for example, I owe you 100,000 dirhams or I owe you a car. So, and the value or nature of the debt must be precise and not open to interpretation. And finally, the last condition is the debt must be confirmed in the commercial document. So the document should demonstrate a clear commercial relationship and establish debt obligation. So let me give you a few examples of what has historically been deemed to arise at the requirement of a confirmed commercial debt. The best example is a check. Let's say a personal check, obviously it could be a manager's check. It's a little less a challenge or disputable than a personal check. But let's say somebody gave me a check for 100,000 dirhams and that check bounced. So that check in of itself would is a classical example of what is deemed to be a confirmed commercial debt. So the issuance of the check in my name for a specific amount, and it's in writing, clearly confirms that that person owes that amount to me, for example. So that's one example. And then another example is an acknowledgement of debt. There is a specific document, for example, that could state, I acknowledge that I owe Ludmila, let's say, 100,000 dirhams. So there is a specific document that can be also notarized, and it's in the UAE in particular. Acknowledgement of debt is a bit of an a term of art. It's a legal instrument that can be notarized to the notary. So that would be another example of a confirmed commercial debt. It could also be a written confirmation of debt in any form. So it may not necessarily be done through the notary or kind of a more of a formal document, but it could even be in writing by hand, as long as, for example, I have a document that's from someone tells me I owe Ludmila, I confirm that I owe Ludmila 100,000 dirhams. And then there's some of the other, or there could be also, for example, an invoice or a confirmation of receipt of goods for a specific value, and so on and so forth. So these are the different instruments that have historically been deemed as evidence of confirmed commercial debt and have been used as such quite successfully since the law was introduced. So why confirmed commercial debt and this payment order mechanism is relevant and important for debtors and or for creditors and important for in particular for business people in the UAE. It's because ultimately, as I mentioned earlier, it's an expedited process to confirm or to get paid. I mean, in simple terms. Hey, if you have an instrument like that, let's say a check or a receipt, you know, like a confirmation from a supplier that they have received goods for X amount and they owe you payment for Y amount. So if you have one of those documents, when you apply to the court the request would be called a payment order request. It's not a substantive case. So you don't need to argue to the court that, yes, I had a contract with such and such party, and here's a copy of the contract, and the contract says 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and as per these provisions in the contract, the party breached such and such clause in the contract, and the breach has been established by virtue of this party doing something or not doing something, and so on and so forth. So you don't need to argue your case. You don't need to substantiate your case, one. Two, you also don't need to open up the door for the other party to challenge your case. So if we go back to that same example, so in a substantive case, I would have to file a case and present the document, the underlying contract with the party showing that, yes, I had a contractual relationship with such and such party, and these are the terms of that contract, and as per specific term in the contract, that party breached its obligation, and that obligation meant that they have to compensate me for X amount, and this is the confirmation why they breached their obligation, this is the confirmation of why it is that they owe me this amount. So that opens up the door to the other party to obviously argue or challenge my position. And so then they would submit and they would argue, for example, that the document does not exist, that the underlying contract does not exist, or the contract is not valid, or that nothing in that particular contract had been breached, or that I breached first and I owe them something. Or that even if there was a breach, that breach does not necessarily entitle me to a request for compensation for such and such amount, and so on and so forth. And then kind of goes back and forth. They will submit their arguments and documents. I would submit my arguments and my documents, and so it goes. And then there's kind of a briefing of the case, so to speak. And then ultimately there'll be a court hearing, and the court may open another round of briefing or debriefing of the case to both parties, and there'll be another hearing, there'll be more round of more submissions, and so on and so forth. So it kind of goes back and forth, this kind of a back and forth communication. So that's called a substantive court case. Now, when you for payment orders, that's not a substantive court case. It's more like an administrative request, and it's called an ex parte request, which means it's a one-sided request. So when I submit this payment order against, let's say, Bob, and then Bob does not get even in most cases, he does not even get notified that I've submitted this request. And he certainly does not have an opportunity to respond to it because it's called an ex parte. So it does not open the door for him to respond to my request. So as a result, and this is why this tool is, on the one hand, is so unique and kind of specific to the UAE, and on the other hand, it's so valuable, but at the same time, it's also very narrowly tailored, is because if I have such instrument and I apply that and I make that request to the court as a payment order, I do not need to serve the other side, they don't, they may not even know about it, but certainly even if they know about it, they cannot respond to it. But most importantly, once I've submitted my documents to the court has to decide that particular request within a day or two. That's as per the law. So their decision on my request has to be made very quickly. And if the court makes a decision, it's and it's positive or it's in my favor, it has to be done by virtue of a court decision. So in other words, I can have a court order within 2 or 3 days from the time I made a request. And this is, and then once I have a court order, imagine, I mean, that's a court order, I have to then serve the other side. And then when I serve the other side, they have 14 days to respond to it, if they want to respond to it. After 14 days, if they don't respond to it, they don't formally challenge it, that particular court decision becomes enforceable, which means I can then file an enforcement case. And in Dubai or in the UAE, enforcement cases are very effective. So once I file an enforcement case, then as part of the enforcement, I can start making a request to the court for example, freezing of the party's bank accounts or any other assets. It could be their vehicles, their cars, it could be their properties, whatever it is. So let's say if I have a decision from the court, which states that that party, Bob, owes me 100,000 dirhams, 14 days after I've served that decision to Bob, he does not respond. I file an enforcement case. Then as part of my enforcement case, I can ask the court, please seize Bob's bank account to the tune of 100,000 dirhams, which he owes me. If I don't have either Bob's bank accounts, or I think that he doesn't have money, or I can also, just to put pressure on Bob, I can also say, and I also want to freeze Bob's property or an apartment that he has to the tune of 100,000 dirhams. Or a car. And so the enforcement case in the UAE is very effective, and it happens and it moves very efficiently. So then you can see, if you just kind of go back to the payment order and enforcement, all in all, I could have an enforceable instrument and I can start seizing, and I can actually get paid through the court within a month. So from the time I file the payment order request to the time the court issues the payment order, 14 days pass and Bob does not challenge it. And then I file an enforcement case. I make a request to the court because enforcement cases move so fast. So it's that, that's perhaps a topic for another day. Through the court, there'll be a request that the court makes to the central bank to list out all of Bob's accounts, bank accounts. And if Bob has 100,000 dirhams in any one of his accounts, when the central bank and the other banks respond, they basically almost kind of by default automatically transfer that 100,000 dirhams to the court. So all in all, perhaps, you know, within certainly 2 months, it's very realistic that I will have 100,000 dirhams sitting in my name in the court's portal that I will be able to access to. So this is an example of how a successful payment order can work, and why it is so, although it sounds kind of procedural and uninteresting and irrelevant, is so important to so many creditors in the UAE because of how you may be able to collect on it. And this is why it's also so important, for example, for all those who traders who deal with a lot of suppliers to whom, for example, they provide services or goods, and there's a clear undertaking or acknowledgement that those goods for that amount have been received, but the payment has not been received back, or the such and such services had been delivered, and there's even an acknowledgement from the other side that yes, we've received these goods or these services, and we'll pay them to you eventually. Right. So for traders, it's an extremely important, a very valuable instrument, because, and there's, I'm sure all those who are in the trading business in the UAE would account to this or would confirm that this is very typical, not just perhaps in this region, but in general in a lot of industries, is that there's only kind of a one-way communication. I give you services, I give you goods, and then I sit and I wait for the payment to come in. And so in the past, what that would have required to do, and by the way, we've had a lot of cases and a lot of clients over the years who had a lot of these kinds of cases, but it was just too prohibitively expensive for them to litigate every one of those cases. So for example, you could be in manufacturing facility business, and you manufacture, let's say, cables, and you supply cables to 50 different suppliers, and you've made a supply here for 15,000 dirhams, there for 50,000 dirhams, here is 100,000 dirhams, you know, there is 75,000 dirhams, and so on and so forth. So cumulatively, it's a very large number, but individually, it's 15,000 dirhams, 20,000 dirhams, it's not so much. But each one of these cases would, in the past, require for you to file a separate court case. So you can see from a business perspective, it was prohibitively expensive and prohibitive to begin with to even entertain that process of going to court and filing these 50 different cases against 50 different suppliers. So this is why this payment order that was introduced in 2022 is such an important and valuable instrument for these kinds of circumstances, for these kinds of cases, for all those who are in the business of, in particular, providing goods or services and where the payment... the payment will follow shortly or after. But there are specific conditions in order for these kinds of transactions to actually rise to the level of being accepted by the court as, in fact, a confirmed commercial debt. And in particular, what that means is that there has to be confirmation by the other side that, yes, in fact, they have received, not only that they have received these goods or services, but also the value of these goods and services, and also a confirmation that, yes, we've received these goods and they amount to 1 million dirhams, and yes, we acknowledge that we owe you this 1 million dirhams and we'll pay it to you. So that's why, on the one hand, it's such an incredibly valuable and important tool. But on the other hand, if you want to be able to benefit from it, you need to make sure that all the underlying documentation is drafted and managed in a way that will allow you to actually benefit from this tool when you apply it to the court. So when the law was first introduced, a lot of cases were filed, and once sort of knowledge seeped into the community and people became more educated, a lot more specific cases for payment orders or requests were made with the court. And one of the more specific, more classical, the common examples was a check. So whenever somebody issues you a check and that check bounces for one reason or another, then that was a clear confirmation of a confirmed commercial debt. And there were a lot of cases like that ultimately would move for enforcement. So some things have changed over time with regards to how the courts interpret payment orders, and I'll explain why. And go back to that same example of a check. So the problem with a check can be as follows. So if I, yes, confirm that I owe Bob 100,000 dirhams, and I issue him a check, and also I pay it, but then that, by the way, happens with a lot of tenants. You know, tenants will issue a check to the landlord, and the check somehow does not clear. So that, by the way, is also a very valuable instrument in the real estate context between tenants and landlords. In that case, there's a confirmation because me as a tenant, I live in this place. So therefore, the check of 400,000 dirhams clearly is a confirmation that I owe that amount of money to the landlord. However, in many cases, as those who live and work and do business in the UAE would attest, checks are often given as guarantees. So it's not necessarily a confirmation that I owe you this money. It's more that just, yes, I intend to enter this transaction with you on this certain set of conditions. And therefore, and if these conditions are met, then yes, I will owe you this amount of money. So in other words, checks are issued as guarantees. And so when this instrument was introduced first, a lot of cases like that, where in fact of checks in particular, were were filed as confirmed commercial debts or as payment orders, and the courts would issue decisions on them, only to later learn from the other side that, well, in fact, this wasn't a confirmation of debt. This check was issued as a guarantee or as a promise, and it was conditional upon a number of factors. So therefore, it's not a confirmed commercial debt. So since then, there were that's why the judiciary had issued a few kind of qualifications and commentary about, you know, what truly should be deemed as a confirmed commercial debt. And some of the, you know, the Dubai courts in particular have interpreted the scope of payment orders quite narrowly since then, reinforcing that payment orders are an exceptional type of judicial proceedings that cannot be broadly applied to all kind of debt-related disputes. And some of the key principles from Dubai courts rulings, and these, by the way, you know, come up from a lot of the judgments, a lot of the decisions we ourselves have handled, they include the following. So one, for example, is the payment orders do not apply to alleged debts or debts that are subject to dispute regarding their validity, nature, or value. The other qualification, a distinction is made between commercial documents that reflect a payment obligation versus those that are issued as guarantees, which is, I mentioned earlier, the checks that are issued as guarantees. And payment orders are only applicable where the documents reflect an actual debt payment obligation and not just kind of a promise or a guarantee conditional upon other factors. And also the nature of the debt and the monetary amount must be undisputed and supported by clear documentation. So these are the qualifications and the sort of the limitations that have been issued in various court decisions as a result, kind of in the wake of this new judicial tool being introduced into legal practice, and the courts kind of realizing that yes, it's a very powerful tool, and the business community also realizing it's a very effective tool for them. But at the same time, it needed to be a little bit sort of kind of managed more tightly, and that's where these qualifications came in. And so how this, just to give you an example of how this evolved, was because and we've handled these cases ourselves, so I know I'm speak for firsthand. So let's say there was a check that was issued in a business transaction, in like a partnership context, and there was a guarantee check that was given to the other side, and then some of the payments towards that transaction had been made, but not the full payments, right? But there was that guarantee check for the full amount. Let's use 1 million dirhams, right? But out of this, so the check was issued for 1 million dirhams. But in the meantime, about, let's say, 700,000 of that money had already been paid to the other side. But the guarantee check was for the full amount. So when the remaining 300,000 had not been paid, the party that held the 1 million dirham check went and filed it as a payment order. And then the court issued, because it clearly meets the requirements, it's in writing, it's a form of a check, it has a clear specific amount. And there was also a demand for a payment that was one of the also requirements, needs to be submitted as part of this request. Then the judgment was issued for the full amount, for 1 million dirhams, because that's the 1 million dirhams that's mentioned in the check. Then, as I mentioned earlier, one of the steps or requirements in procedural requirements in the context of payment orders is that once a decision from the court is issued, then it has to be served on the other side. When it was served on the other side challenged it because not the full 1 million dirhams was owed at that point in time. And they challenged it, presenting evidence that 700,000 had already been paid, so therefore the full amount is not valid. What happens at that point in time, so if the other side challenges the case, then that court decision basically is paused, and then the case becomes converted into a substantive case. So in other words, when the other side challenges it, so that initial court order is no longer effective, but for the other side to challenge it, it has to file a case. And so when it files a case, it becomes like a substantive case, and then in substantive case, the parties can argue then whether that full amount was owed or why the full amount was not owed. And that's where the other side would present the evidence that, well, no, 700,000, for example, has already been paid. So therefore, And therefore, the first judgment of the court has to be invalidated because it does not reflect the reality. So there were a lot of cases like that. So this is an example where ultimately courts, there's an example of where the check is not a confirmed commercial debt. It was a guarantee for future payments. Part of the payments had already been made. And that's there were enough cases like that that came out that where it became very clear to the courts that it's not every check is a confirmation of debt. Some checks are issued in the context of a different transaction, a broader transaction, and either as a guarantee or it's or conditional upon other. Upon other requirements, and so therefore it does not constitute a confirmation of debt. So that's kind of why the practice this the judicial tool has kind of evolved, or its interpretation and its meaning evolved over time. So with regards to the process of filing the case, it's and this is also one of the reasons why so that has attributed to its evolution is that the filing of payment orders attracts a court fee of 6% of the claim's value, like with a minimum of 500 dirhams and a maximum of 40,000 dirhams. So for example, if you have a confirmation of debt, or what you think is a confirmation of debt for 500,000 dirhams, you need to pay 40,000 dirhams to the court. And then this fee structure is consistent with the sort of standard court fees applied to civil claims in the local courts or in the UAE courts. However, there are important financial risks associated with filing a payment order because if the requested payment order is rejected, then the court fees are lost and non-refundable. While a payment order is requests are often decided very quickly and rejection can occur just without detailed substantive adjudication within just a few days. And so, therefore, creditors must carefully assess whether the debt meets the statutory and judicial criteria before filing a payment order to avoid unnecessary costs. Because this means that creditors can risk losing fairly significant court fees if the court's rejection is procedural rather than substantive. Just to give you a specific example for that is that when you file a substantive case and you pay the same 6% fees I mentioned earlier, maximum 40,000 dirhams to the court, you can justify filing this 40,000 dirhams because you know the case is going to last for at least 6 months, 3 to 6 months to sometimes a year, back and forth. The parties will be briefing the case, there'll be hearings, there'll be submissions. And so from a psychological standpoint, it is easier for parties to justify paying the 40,000 dirhams because this will carry them through, so to speak, for many months ahead. Whereas with payment orders, because it's an administrative judicial tool, an expedited tool, you may have a decision within 2 days, and the decision may be reject this instrument does not qualify as a payment order. Then this sort of this feeling of like, well, but I just paid 40,000 dirhams, and all I have, and 2 days later, I learned that the tool I filed is not has not been accepted by the court, so therefore I cannot proceed further. One, two, in many cases, though things are changing on that front as well. At least early on in the process, the courts would also often issue decisions basically just rejecting the payment order and not explaining the reasons behind the rejection. So the feeling of this kind of like, well, unfairness, like, well, I just paid 40,000 dirhams, I submitted a request. 2 days later, the court just rejected my request without any specific explanation or justification. This sort of feeling of unfairness was quite strong, understandably enough. So this is why kind of these on both sides, the courts realizing not all checks, for example, are created equal. Some checks are in fact a confirmation of debt. Others are not. On the one hand, and on the other hand, also from the debtor's side of where they can see that it's a fairly expensive tool. But as I mentioned earlier, if the documents are the right kinds of documents, and this tool is used, it's extremely effective because yes, you've paid the 40,000 dirhams, but all of a sudden, but remember, 40,000 dirhams, that's maximum. So it's either 500 dirhams. So if you go back to my example of an invoice or whatever the document exists to confirm that your goods have been received for 15,000 dirhams, but you haven't received the payment. 500 dirhams to pay to the court to apply for a payment order in a case like this is justifiable, and all of a sudden becomes manageable and accessible. And by the way, because it's an administrative request, it's not a substantive case, so you don't need to hire lawyers to file these kinds of requests. And that's another huge benefit for a lot of the traders, a lot of the business owners. If they have many of these kinds of invoices, for example, of confirmed deliveries of goods, of services, and even confirmed communications from the other side, from the customers, that yes, they've received such and such goods and such and such services for such and such amount, but they haven't paid yet. So if you have many of these, now all of a sudden you can A, financially afford to file cases for them because it's only 500 dirhams or maximum 6% of the amount. So if it's 15,000 dirhams, you know, the fee to the court is quite accessible. You know, B, it moves much faster, so you don't have to get involved in the court case of, you know, that will last you a year. You can have a decision within just a few days. You know, see, because it's not, you don't have to argue the case. You just need to present the documents confirming the debt. You don't need to have lawyers representing you. You don't need to have lawyers drafting any submissions for you because there's nothing really legal in nature that you need to argue apart from the initial request and showing that yes, this is I'm applying for payment order, this is a payment order because here I have the documents 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that clearly shows there's a confirmed commercial debt, so therefore I want the court to issue a decision. These days it's so much easier to file cases through the court portal. You no longer need to go physically to the court and make submission to the court, which in the past meant that you had to have lawyers to do it for you. Now, if you have your own court portal, whether it's a company or an individual, you can make this request through the court portal on your own without having to have lawyers, without having to pay significant fees, without having to submit any kind of legal arguments and such. So as a result, once again, we come back to how powerful this tool is, especially for in commercial context, in commercial sense, where between business parties and especially where between suppliers and traders, where there is an actual exchange of goods or services that happens. And in most of these cases, there's kind of a standard set of documents, a protocol of documents that exchange between the parties that cumulatively is very clear confirmation of commercial debt. So this is why this tool exists in the way that exists. It was introduced in the way it was introduced, and it should be used by all those businesses. And it doesn't matter that you're a small business and the debt is small. Now that you that this tool exists, you know that you can do it yourself without having to hire a lawyer. This is, I hope this empowers many small businesses and many small suppliers to be able to pursue their payments and pursue their rights through courts. A few other considerations, in particular from the recent court cases that we've seen, is that in addition to the statutory requirements that I mentioned, the local courts or the UE courts rulings have clarified further the procedural and substantive aspects of a payment order, such as, you know, a creditor seeking a payment order for a confirmed commercial debt may simultaneously apply for what's called a precautionary measures or precautionary attachment. And it's to secure a creditor's position while the payment order is being processed. And this is supported by Article 143.3 and Article 147.5 of the same UE Civil Procedures Law. And so when issuing a decision on payment order, the court also has three possible outcomes. For example, to accept if the debt is clearly documented and meets legal criteria, reject if the debt is not properly established or does not meet the statutory conditions, or partial acceptance or rejection if some aspects of the debt are established but others are not. And if the court rejects a payment order, mentioned early. Another is there is now a sort of it's required to provide a reasonable and a well sort of detailed decision explaining the basis for the rejection. This, by the way, was not so in the beginning. And so similarly, if the court issues a decision regarding the enforceability of this commercial debt linked to payment order, it must also provide detailed justification. And so these requirements are set out in Article 145 of the UAE Civil Procedure Law. Now, let me kind of go back to the precautionary attachment, why that is valuable, because if you have this, as many who've pursued or chased repayment of debt and have gone through court cases would know, it's like, well, you may have a very strong position knowing that such and such supplier, for example, or customer or client owes you this amount. But you worry, often you worry, oh, well, if I file a court case, they will close down the business, or will they leave the country, or, you know, they'll sell the assets and I won't have anything to collect from. So this is why, in addition to this payment order, there is a parallel instrument, as I mentioned earlier, called the precautionary attachment. And the courts often grant these, and that's a precautionary attachment, basically, which on the basis of this payment order request, you can also make a request, it's a separate request, but it's also ex parte, you can make a request for the court to freeze the assets of the other side, right? So even while you are still you're kind of serving the other side with a court order of the confirmation of debt, or if it's being challenged even, you can in parallel also file for a precautionary attachment to kind of freeze those assets so that to make sure that your position as a creditor is secured and that the party's not going to either sell all the assets, divest the business, but also importantly, as part of this precautionary attachment, sometimes you can even request to freeze on the license, and depending on the circumstances, sometimes you may even be able to request a sort of travel ban for the person for the debtor, which further kind of provides you with assurances that your debt is not, the person is not just going to run away from their obligation. So as a result, it's a very powerful tool, and there's other sort of the precautionary attachment tool is kind of an add-on to it that makes it so much more powerful and so much more effective. Therefore, so much more kind of business friendly, and that's presumably this is why the legislators decided to introduce it as is, and this is why it's been used as much as it has. But to this day, I would I would like to see more of a business community to be aware of this tool and how effective and how helpful it may be for them, because still we hear a lot from our clients, especially small businesses, how they suffer from their invoices or the customers or clients not paying them. The moral of the story here, so the tool exists, and there is a number of other tools like a precautionary attachment that exists to add on to enhance and further protect the options for creditors to preserve their right and ultimately get paid. But at the same time, in order to benefit from this tool, you need to make sure that you have all the documentation. The documentation, as I've said before, that it has to be a confirmed commercial. It has to be in writing. It has to be clearly in the context of a commercial relationship. It has to be a specific amount. There has to be confirmation this amount is due. And it has to be undisputed. And that means going back to the small businesses and the traders in particular, and all the suppliers, is that you make sure that your documentation meets all those standards. And so, in other words, whenever you, for example, issue a receipt or delivery certificate to your customers or clients to whom you submit or send your goods, make sure that they are required to, for example, to sign on there, or that you can pre-populate the language for them to sign off that, yes, we acknowledge we have received these goods for this amount and that we owe you payment for this amount. So a lot of this language that I've described, it can be and it should be included in your standard documentation, so that in the way when you deliver your goods or your services services to your customer, that all they have to do is to sign. But where they'll sign on under the language that clearly confirms that they received your goods and the amount of the value of the goods, and that they are and then by signing there, they're confirming that they owe you that amount. You see how all of this kind of comes together if you have each one of the elements and so data points lined out in order. So in summary, payment orders offer a highly effective mechanism for debt recovery in the UAE, but only when applied under the right circumstances. And so the key to success lies in presenting clear, undisputed commercial debt supported by solid documentation, as I described. While the UAE courts maintain a strict interpretation of the legal requirements, creditors who do meet these standards can benefit from a fast-track solution to recover outstanding debts. However, given the potential cost implications of rejection, particularly the risk of losing a court fee of up to 40,000 dirhams, creditors should carefully evaluate the strength of their claim before proceeding with a payment order of such form. So that's all for today's episode on Logical. If you found this useful and you like what we do, you can always find more on our website, lylawyers.com. We're also on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And for the full experience, you can watch our video podcast on YouTube. Until next time, stay informed, stay safe, and keep things logical.